Wow, I feel like I've already been to church. Yeah, we just been, but we got a few more things to say and do. Let's call our hearts together one more time for a prayer. Let us pray. God of infinite wisdom, we come this morning, Lord, seeking you as our school year begins, seeking you as we draw close to you as individuals and families in this change of season and schedules. We seek your light, your heart, your hope, your way for our world. As we talk about salt and light and the words of your Son this morning, Lord, we ask that just your Spirit would guide us and speak to our hearts, help settle our minds and settle us, Lord, to focus on your voice, not mine, but your voice this morning. Empower us to hear. It's in the powerful and wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, today we began this new series you've been hearing about, and Kelly has set some really good ground as we've heard our scripture read from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, what is this series? We've been talking about things that Jesus didn't say, or we think is in Scripture and actually is not in Scripture. And we've been encouraging you to get a little bit deeper in the Scriptures and know your Scripture well as we encounter the words of Christ and the needs of the community around us. So when we hear the Sermon on the Mount, which may seem familiar, what Kelly went over with us about being light and salt, you know, if you've been in church, you kind of think, oh, I've heard Jesus say that before, and I've got that sermon. I know what they're going to talk about. I can kind of tune this out because I know this stuff. I want to push up against that a little bit. We're going to look a little bit deeper at what Jesus actually said in this passage. This passage of the Sermon on the Mount that was just read for us comes right after where we were last week. So last week, when we were talking about things that Jesus didn't say, we used as a contrast the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, which talk about God's presence with us. Christ says, you are blessed if you're grieving, you're blessed if you try to seek my ways. So he offers this broad scope of blessing and says, I'm with you in the midst of all this. You are a blessed and beloved people. And then he comes in behind that with this text, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So as we set that context, I'm going to say we look at the scripture a little bit differently than maybe Jesus said, and I want to push you a little bit to study the Sermon on the Mount. And so I think many of you got a card as you came in this week with, on one side of it is the sermon series and a great QR code that tells you more about the series so you can share that. On the other side, this is cool, and I think we have an image of this in the booth. Here's an image, getting a different image. This image, I think that's kind of our sermon. I probably could say just be these and we could go home now, but we're going to talk a little bit more. Let's look at the image on the card is the image that I wanted to call up. Here we go. This is really cool. In our Grow Ministry department, they put this together for resources to go a little bit deeper. There's a group that is great, and the theology is great, called the Bible Project, and they have a series of short videos on the Sermon on the Mount. They're good for families if you want to take a look at those together. And then on the other side is a thing called Amplify Resources that we subscribe to at Floris, and you can create an account. This link will take you to a great book on the Sermon on the Mount by Amy Jill Levine that we're recommending. But you can create an account if you want to study God's Word deeper, if you want to get into some free resources. If you sign up with our Floris account, those will be free resources for you. So we're kind of pushing you deeper as we're talking about Jesus, what Jesus said in this big sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. It's good to know what he said, so go and read it. It's a text that reads really well aloud. So take a look at the text, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the whole sermon. And then take a look at some of these resources. We're just pulling that out there to pull it apart a bit for you. Now, when we look at salt and light, sometimes we simplify what Jesus is saying. So I don't want to do that. Kelly did a great job to take us a little bit deeper, and I want to go a little bit deeper. Sometimes we think these are just categories. Be light, be salt, and that's it. It's sort of like you're either it or you're not it. And Jesus, really, as he's speaking this, you have to think about how he is structuring his sermon. He says, people are blessed. They're beloved of him, no matter what their life circumstances. And then he comes to the section where he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He follows that up. In Jesus was very contextual. And when Jesus says this, Kelly is correct. He was calling on something that was common in culture and a saying that actually was common that the Jews had heard a lot in the Roman world. And the saying, I've got it on the screen here. It's in Latin if you read Latin. But you would hear this said in Roman conversation in courts, there's nothing more useful than sun and salt. The Roman Empire would say that because these were some of the most useful things in society at the time. Maybe still, we could argue it, but this was said. And so Jesus contextually is saying, you know, it's not that these are the best of things, but they're the most useful things. Light and salt are the most, so he pulls from what's in his context, the cool thing that people were saying in the day, there's nothing more useful than sun and salt, and he lifts it before them. And as Kelly said, the root of salt, like salt was so important, it comes, and I've got Latin roots here. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Oh. Next slide. That's a bunch of salt. Next slide. Here, you heard her say that you might get paid in salt. The root word, if you look at this, I'm not going to read it for you, but the root word of salary comes from salt. So the usefulness of someone's vocation was grounded in this root word, sal, which we get salary, and soldiers would be paid in salt at times. So it was a value in culture, as Kelly said, to preserve things, to add taste to things. And then, of course, the sun and light, useful. And it became such permeated in culture that Jesus is not calling this out as a set-apart thing. Jesus is calling it out as useful things. It's different. So when we look at this today, I want to ask you, are you useful? Are you useful according to God's plan for your life? Because salt and light, when Jesus says we're salt and light, it's sort of a base usefulness that he's calling out. Salt adds taste. It doesn't necessarily change what you eat. And light, you can have a dark room with a bunch of people in it, and you don't change the people with the light when you bring a candle or a lamp into the room, but you make things better. So generally, unless you add a lot like Kelly said, salt will make things better. Light will make things better. This is the context that Jesus was speaking in. Salt and light, nothing more useful than these. So the question is, how are you using the salt and light within you? How is your life useful to God's purpose for you? What value do you have in the kingdom of God, in the call of God in your life? There's a bunch of us that are old in the room that there used to be this commercial about hamburgers, and they would say, where's the beef? Anybody remember that? Really old in the room, a few of us. Where's the salt and where's the light? When Kelly talks about going to school kids and being kind and holding the door and offering someone your pencil, those things are basic useful things that can make someone's day or can make a classroom or can make your workplace or the life of a stranger. You add, you make better. You take what's within you, this blessedness of God, and it's called out of you and salt and light in the world. Doesn't set you apart. Sometimes we think it sets us apart. Jesus is saying we're so special, we're salt and life, and we're the saved ones. And Jesus is not really saying that. He's calling on the context as what is of use that is within you, which is the way of God, the image of God that's implanted in, within you, the Holy Spirit, God's heart. When that comes out and you just do the right thing on a normal day in the classroom, on a normal day in your workplace, on a normal day within your circle of friends, when you add a little bit of light and a little bit of salt, then you make the world a better place. And all of us doing that together, all these kids that we saw up here in the room, gosh, guys, you can have an impact on the schools this year. If you sprinkle a little bit of your saltiness, if you're salty in a good way, and if you shed your light that is inside you and just knowing the right thing to do, what Jesus would have you do in a moment, those are the things that change the world. Now, theologically, I don't want to wax too deep or philosophical, but theologically, priest and theologian Richard Rohr, he writes about how Jesus makes this transition from the Beatitudes to calling us salt and light. And he says this. He says, Jesus is not saying that those who live this way are going to heaven. He's not saying that here. He's saying that they will be a gift. They'll be a gift to the earth. We think that Jesus is given a prescription here. You do these things and then you get to this place, Rohr says. But he says, no, the Sermon on the Mount is a set of descriptions. They're a set of descriptions. Jesus is actually describing you guys. When he says, you're salt and life, he's saying, you know, the Creator, God, has implanted these things within you. They're useful. They're useful for the work that God intends for your life and for our community life together. So that's where Jesus goes when Jesus says, what is it when the salt loses its taste? It's not worth anything. And you don't take a light and put, you know, a bushel basket over it, put a bowl over a light. No, you shake that salt around, you add it. You lift that light high. These are the basic things that are within us. And then when we all collectively are using this salt and light and the world around us, then that comes in power. And that's transformative. That does set us apart. And that's when God's way, the kingdom of God, begins to break forth. In the hallways of schools, teachers, administrators, on the bus, kids, when you're riding the bus in the morning or in the evening, on the soccer field, and the stands on the soccer field, parents. It's just looking for that edge to really live into who you are. You have this within you. It's a way of viewing the world. Jesus sets us up with the Beatitudes, and he says, you're beloved, you're blessed of God all the time. I'm going to walk with you through the hard times, through the good times, and when you're trying to be faithful, and even when it's hard to be faithful, you're blessed. And then he says, you're salt and light. And the world needs these things. They need these things today. So when we think about our context, I said Jesus was very contextual when he was using this saying because the Romans would say this. When we think about our context, we're in a political season, folks. Things are hard and divided right now. That's just real, and that's where we are for the next ever how many days. I've lost count. We know that our culture is in an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. We looked at the report here in the church weeks ago. We know that addiction is on the rise. There's so many things. So God calls out what is in you, as Jesus says, you're beloved. This love of Christ should make us look at this world that has so many needs in a different way. In a different way, and to offer what we have. When I was packing last year, I found a little like keepsake box where I stuck some things in it, and I found wrapped really tightly in some notebook paper, this little piece of paper, and it had kind of a sideways smiley face on it, and it had I love you on the outside of it. And I looked at it, and I didn't recognize it at first, and I opened this notebook paper, and inside that notebook paper were two pennies. And I remembered. I remember why I put it in the keepsake box, because it was so special. It was from my preschool age at the time daughter. And what had happened is she'd gotten her allowance for the week, and she had taken two pennies and wrapped them up with a love note and came, and she's in the room, and presented this to me. She's probably turning red at this moment. And it just melted my heart, because at that age, when she was in that preschoolist age, her allowance was a big deal. And she'd taken some of the best of what she'd gotten that week, wrapped it up, and offered it to her mom as a gift. We have this gift inside of us. And God calls it out. He calls it out as light and salt. He calls it out to be used and shared. It's the best stuff. It really is. It's the stuff that can change the tenor, the tempo, the sound of a room. When somebody is just kind, when somebody steps in the way of Jesus Christ and they offer a bit of their heart. I did some travel this week with my husband for a few days off, and he was in a shop, and I sat down in a chair, and I was watching people come and go on the street, and a lady sat in the chair next to me, and she had a very fancy-dressed poodle with her, and this poodle is there, and it's kind of attracting some attention on the street, and in her hand with the poodle, the lady had little heart-shaped sunglasses that were the poodle's, and she put the sunglasses on the poodle, and someone walked up and said, "Can I get a picture?" This is not the poodle, but these are some dogs. "Can I get a picture of your dog?" And she said, "No, she doesn't do pictures, but you can look at her Insta account. Here's her card." And she apparently was some famous, like, Insta influencer, and that got me to thinking about those heart-shaped glasses, which are like a Swiftie thing, a Taylor Swift thing a few years ago. I remember my daughters went through this phase of the heart-shaped sunglasses. Anybody else's daughters go through that phase? Oh, I know, so cute, right? This dog was cute. What would it mean if we looked at the world through the eyes of love? And that's why we're giving you these cute images, because hopefully it'll stick with you. If we looked at the classroom, if we looked at the bus, if we looked at our office, if we looked around our family table, and we looked with the eyes of love in the context that we live, because that's how God looks at it. Too often our eyes are drawn to the mess and we feel hopeless or we feel angry about the mess. But what if we had this imaginary sort of glasses that we put on and we say today, "God, help me see things the way you see them. Help me look around and know that I am beloved by you. And whatever little bit of salt I can add today, whatever little bit of light I can shine, let me do that. Let me just see this world. Let me just see my friends. Let me see those people that I wouldn't classify as my friends, whatever. Let me see those other parents that are uptight in the bleachers at the game. Let me see them as you see them." This is the stuff that has power. Okay? None of us are called out as super special. Right? We are special together because we are created in God's image. And that image has a fruitfulness in the world. So, folks, as we go into the school year, as we change our rhythms and our pace a little bit, can you be a little bit salty in a good way? Can you be bright? You know, not in a stuck-up kind of way, but in a way where you just add some light in the room, where you look around with those eyes of love. Let's see some cute dogs again. Let's put them back up there if you can get them back up there. Where you just look out And you say, oh my gosh, God loves this classroom. God loves this bus. God loves this person standing in front of me in the Target line more than I could ever imagine. Lord, help me love them right now. Help me be a little bit salty. Help me be bright as light that comes from you. And help me just be the best person I can in this moment. That gets me excited. That gives me hope, because that's how our world is changed a little bit at a time. As you third graders and the first graders, the second graders, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, the older students in the room, as you shake a little bit of salt, as you're really bright with your lights and you let them shine, that's how the world changes. Thanks be to God. Amen.